I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We're going to talk a little bit about the O.J. Simpson case. Famed lawyer Johnny Cochran got the juice acquitted on murder charges, but now the former NFL quarterback has been sentenced to 9 to 33 years in prison for his role in a hotel robbery. We're going to take a look at that case, plus the latest media adventures of BET founder Bob Johnson on today's Bloggers Roundtable. With us, Chris Rabb from the blog Afronetizen, who will be joining us shortly. Sharon Toomer, founder and managing editor of Black and Brown News.com, and Anthony Bradley, who blogs at the Institute. Sharon, Anthony, hi.
Hello, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. O.J. Simpson, not so much. On Friday, a judge sentenced him from 9 to 33 years. Last year, he and two other men were charged with storming a Las Vegas hotel room and demanding sports memorabilia from two collectibles dealers. Simpson said the items belonged to him, but he was convicted on 12 charges, including kidnapping and armed robbery. Believe it or not, it's been 13 years since Simpson was acquitted of murdering his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ron Goldman. Now, that verdict set off racial tensions in communities across the country. A lot of white Americans thought Simpson had gotten away, literally, with murder. So when you take a look at this, Sharon, was the severity of the sentencing this time in any way linked to the 94 acquittal?
Well, not according to the judge. The judge said absolutely not. I think with O.J. that he really just didn't take the cue to go away. Just get out of sight and be glad that he would not be spending even more time in prison. But she had the letter of the law on her side and can fully justify 9 to 33 years?
Yes.
That he could potentially face. And they're just saying 9 because he may get paroled.
Right.
But that could go the other way, too, where he's denied parole. So they have the law on their side on this one.
Yeah, but it's not like they it's not like he killed a dog or anything.
What do you mean by that?
I was just referring to Michael Vick.
Right. But I mean, some people view crimes against humans more seriously. Some people view the death of any living being, human or otherwise, more seriously.
We're talking about why he went to prison, Farai. We're talking about why he went to prison, not what he may have done in the 90s.
I guess what I'm trying to get you to tell us more clearly is, how do you, if you were to compare this to the Vick case, and if you take his conviction as a, you know, as a basic fact, what do you think of these two celebrity trials, and which one do you think was more serious?
The big difference, Fry, is that Vick pled his case. He decided not to go to trial on this, which was probably wise, and just took a deal. O.J. had the opportunity to make a deal and decided to go to trial. And I think that is part of why the judge said that she wasn't sure if it was arrogance or ignorance. But, you know, she made the statement it's probably both. But I think he could have had lesser time had he decided to plead. But he just really felt that he was in the right and wanted to take his case to trial. And that's how you come up with a 9 to 33 year prison term.
All right. Now, O.J. gave a tearful apology to the judge during his sentencing. Let's take a listen.
I am sorry. I didn't mean to steal anything from anybody, and I didn't know I was doing anything illegal. I thought I was confronting friends and retrieving my property. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all of it.
Chris, I know that you have had a lot of trepidations about talking about this and whether or not it's news. But when people have bandied about various levels of seriousness and talking about O.J. Simpson, various levels of heat and passion in talking about O.J. Simpson over the years, don't you think it's imperative on some level for African-American commentators to have a say in how the debate and dialogue goes?
Oh, absolutely. And you should be one of the people doing it, and I applaud you for doing that. I think this is newsworthy because this is a meta-analysis. This is not a O.J. being in the news because he's O.J. based on his infamy. This is O.J. getting in trouble again. My position is that they framed a guilty man. That's always been my position. But the question
in the first case, the second case, or both?
In Well, in the first case. In the second case, I've chosen not to follow it closely, but I agree with the judge that it was ignorance and arrogance, probably. And I mean, gosh, if he got off the first time, he's, I'm sure he said, well, I can get off for this. So I have no problem with OJ going to prison as long as he's going to prison for a crime he committed and that he is not being penalized because he's black or because he's OJ. Although I wouldn't personally mind punishing OJ for being OJ because I didn't like him before the 90s. But that's a separate political issue, I guess.
Go ahead.
Can I just add this one thing? And this is not so much about the case, and but I'm not being facetious here. When I hear OJ, and this is throughout, it's as if I'm hearing someone who is in their early 20s and still very much stuck in a frat mentality and just has never been able to get out of that. And I say that because we're also dealing with some other issues out here out west, I'm sure you've heard, and with the Giants football player and some other athletes. And it just seems like there's something, and I include Vic in this, there's just some disconnect with maturity and responsibility, behavior, conduct, that I wonder, and I know it's another area, so I won't take
But
maybe the NFL and some of these organizations that I'm not too clued on, but maybe there's something that has to happen internally because there is a disconnect here.
Well, Anthony, let me just jump in. Anthony, there's an argument that celebrities are kept in perpetual adolescence because it keeps them more helpless, more dependent on managers and other people who have to shepherd them through life. Do you agree with Sharon that the organizations, sports organizations, other organizations that deal with celebrities or people of means who get those means very early need to take more responsibility?
Absolutely. One of the things that we see with athletes beginning in high school is that they're in positions where adults make decisions for them and keep them out of trouble based on their performance on the field. And what we see repeatedly all over the country, beginning in Little League, are young men and young women who are invited to be irresponsible and are often protected from the consequences of irresponsibility by adults who are more concerned about their performance and about their character.
I want to move on to another topic, but before that, I want to remind everybody who our bloggers are on tap. We were just hearing from Anthony Bradley, who blogs at the Institute. We've got Sharon Toomer, founder and managing editor of blackandbrownnews.com, and Chris Rabb from the blog AfroNetizen. Of course, this is NPR's News and Notes, and I am Farai Chidea. Now, moving on to another media topic, Black entertainment television founder Bob Johnson is planning to create a new urban television network. He says it won't compete with the black channels right now, BET or TV One. It would cater to a multicultural audience and cover health, lifestyle, and education. He also says that it could include a big tent of different groups, including gay and lesbian programmers. So when you hear that, Chris, what does it say to you?
I'm just so excited. You know, this man has the Midas touch. And I think if he can bring softcore porn to a broad panoply of Americans, I think, that's really what this age is all about. And God bless him.
So you think it's going to go off in a direction where the programming, when you say make the reference, the pointed reference to softcore porn, are you talking about videos, which have been often critiqued that way?
Oy. I would say that the man is evil.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. I'll put it out there. I know people who are friends with him. I know people who have once worked for him. I don't like to say that word often. But he knows what he's doing. And he's been quoted as validating that point, that all he knows is maximizing shareholder value. That is his mantra. And you know what? When you do that, in a corporate media context, you are inherently evil. Going after. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon.
Well, we've had Mr. Johnson on the show, and I'm sure he would make a very different assessment of his aims. We had him on most recently talking about both the election and his businesses in Liberia. But let me ask you this, Sharon. You just agreed with Chris. A lot of people blame Bob Johnson for selling a black-owned channel to Viacom, which is a huge global conglomerate where you've got every, you know, MTV, among other networks under the umbrella. Was it Bob Johnson's fault, if you see faults with the programming of BET, or was it the subsequent owners?
I think that there's a combination of two. He's not absolved from what BET was before it changed hands to Viacom. So we had he started up something that's really hard to do, and he does get credit for that. It's when you disband all of what is really needed more now than ever, and particularly the black community, which is public affairs programming, news programming. We don't need less of it. We need more. And you certainly don't replace it with uncut videos. And I don't care that you put it on between 12 and 6 o'clock in the morning when that's when people are watching, you know, people are awake at that time. So I don't think that I've lost all confidence in Bob Johnson to be a responsible steward of the image of black people. And I'm curious to know, because I don't get the intricacies of filing FCC applications, and I'm not sure if it's just automatic, if it's just a formality. But I'm curious to see how far it goes in this. And my memory is long, so I don't have any faith in what he's going to produce. And also, I'm still salty about what that man said in South Carolina with respect to President-elect Obama. So I just...
He made some pointed remarks. And when he came on our show, he actually said that... He wanted to put that behind him. He'd been a strong Hillary Clinton supporter. And
I bet he does want to put that
behind him. Of course he wants to put it behind him.
Especially looking out for some licensing from FCC at this time. I'm sure he would like to put a lot. And I think he raised a lot of money for Obama. I saw him at the DNC running around at the arena. And, you know, people were there was a lot of chatter about his presence there. It just seemed odd. And a lot of people are saying, well, he's raising a lot of money for Obama now. And, you know, just but a lot of people, I am still not over and somebody wrote in to BBN, and this is not coming from me, so I just want to make this clear. But during the height of those comments that he made, and this is how he is viewed among some folks in the black community, and that is he is a surefire candidate for Coon of the Year. And I don't know if he has a PR department or maybe do some focus groups, but that is really what all of his selling out has.
I have to jump in because some people are going to find that language really offensive, and I'm sure that our letters mailbag will be.
They can mail them to me.
Okay, we'll forward
and,
them.
And on. Send it to me,
and you can send them my way too, Farai, because
yeah,
I think
send
for
them. That's not on you, Farai. That's
repugnant.
That's,
yeah, it's see.
No. I'm just
activity.
Saying,
no, I understand. You got to do what you got to do, and I think that's fair. And I think we're grown-ups, Sharon and I, and I think that I want to speak for Sharon, but I'll say that, you know, because you had me on the show before, and I told you that I use the N-word, and I tell you how and why I use it, and that is a highly offensive and incendiary term for most people in most contexts, and incendiary words are used for incendiary causes.
Well, we're going to actually try to get back in touch with Bob Johnson and see if he has any response. You know, talk to
Chris
him.
Beyond.
Yeah, well, you know, you may end up in dialogue with him sooner than you think. But Anthony, let me steer this back to you, and I do hope we get a chance to talk to him about this. There have been a series of efforts to try to think about what new media looks like. And it looks like we're going to see the Tribune Company filing for bankruptcy. That's an absolutely devastating moment for American journalism in terms of what it says about the market for media. So do you think this is the time to even jump into this pool?
Well, for Bob Johnson, I mean, he is a businessman no matter what. And if he can pimp whatever social degradation he can to make money, he's going to do that. I mean, as an entrepreneur, what Bob Johnson is doing is he is responding to consumer demand. And what we have is a culture that wants to listen to and watch the kind of filth that he is often willing to produce. And so for him, it is an opportune moment, but that's only because we live in a country of people who are more than willing to slop themselves in the kinds of images and music often that's dehumanizing to black women, that degrades black culture, and is an offense to the civil rights legacy that provided him the platform to do what he does in the first place.
All right, Chris, this has got to be really quick. What do you think of the basic business model of trying to bring producers together in a more, you know, internet-style approach to TV programming?
I think it's the future. In fact, I think it's the present. You know, we have to look at different business models, not just in terms of the delivery of the content, but in the entrepreneurial, the operational aspects. And big, as we're seeing, is not necessarily better. And in fact, in many cases, it's worse if you look at the big three. Innovation does not come from the behemoths. It does not come from the BETs. It does not come from these larger organizations. It comes from the more entrepreneurial ones. And so the question is, how do you create sustainable organizations? And also, how do you do that in a way where the profit maximization is not leading it, but it's innovation and the mission itself, which is journalistic integrity, mm-hmm. Social justice, whatever the issues are, doing that first, and the business right. models will follow. And there are many that are out there that people need to look more closely at.
All right. Well, we'll follow up on that and follow up with Bob Johnson. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That was Chris Rabb from Afronetizen. He joined us from WHYY in Philadelphia. Sharon Toomer, founder and managing editor of blackandbrownnews.com. She was at WNYC in New York. And Anthony Bradley, who blogs at The Institute. He joined us from KWMU in St. Louis. That's our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org, our blog and newsletter at nprnewsandviews.org.